Here at Madison Park, we value the rhythm of something we call Rethink Christmas, a time of year to examine Christmas, but most importantly, to prioritize the reason for the season so that more people get to experience Emmanuel, God with us. It's a time to take a hard look at materialism and consumerism in an effort to live more counterculturally, in an effort to follow Jesus more closely. We also recognize that this year has been and is different for many of us, so we're going to rethink Christmas accordingly. We're going to ask each family to prioritize what matters most so that you and those you influence have the opportunity to experience the blessing of a God who came to us in Christ to be our Savior. So this year, we're going to simplify Rethink Christmas collectively as a church. We're going to partner with Operation Christmas Child to bring tangible gifts alongside an invitation to the gospel journey. If you're able to give over and above that this year, please know that leadership will use your financial gifts to meet the ministry needs of our local, national, and international ministry partnerships. So whatever this year has been for you, we pray that this series will be a gift to you as we rethink Christmas.
So whether you're ready or not, 55 days from today, and we are at Christmas. So we launch into this series of Rethink Christmas. Well, what does this exactly mean when we have a part as the church to give the greatest gift that could be given? It's the greatest gift received and the greatest gift to be given. 55 days. Some of you perhaps need some ideas because all of a sudden it's hitting you and you're going, wow, what am I going to get that person that it's really difficult to buy a gift for? So I just have a few ideas for you this morning before we jump into the text and take a look. But if you happen just to have someone that's an animal lover, they have that pet, that really, really good, well-defined, trained animal, then this is the gift you want to order for them. It's the pet butler. You just serving best for animals, you strap it on, it comes with a magnet, you put the metal tray there, it's going to serve your family, it's going to serve you. And if you don't have a pet that you took to obedience school, I think we could probably share some really good video footage of what really happens when you strap the pet butler on your animal. Now, if this one isn't good enough, then some of you have fishermen on your list, right? And so this next one is perfect for them. It's called the Fish Eye. It's a wearable fish camera. So once you catch your first fish, you just strap this dude on your fish, turn him back loose, connects in with your iPhone. You can watch him as he goes beneath the surface, down into that school of fish. You drop your hook and line, you're sure to get something. I mean, this is just totally creative. Now, the reality is, I also know there's a lot of you that are young parents. You've got that baby in the crib. You're getting zero sleep. And the best gift that you could have this Christmas would be the crib dribbler. Now, the crib dribbler, you just hook it right here at the end of your crib. Your little one in the night when they wake up and do the normal crying thing, they just crawl over there. They get their nourishment. You fill it with formula, milk, whatever you need. They are complete. They're going to grow up and not need counseling. I guarantee you. It's going to be okay. And lastly, if you are the aunt or uncle that always just wants to really impress your nieces or nephews, then my first fire would be one that I would say I would encourage you to get for them. And you know, they get to explore the wonders of fire lighting. It comes with the 18-inch ring, the poker, the logs, and an 8-ounce fuel can. I mean, what more could you want? But in all reality, those gifts, if we gave them, would just get pushed aside, and they really don't have a significant impact. But what if we focus in on what Jesus would want us to focus in on as a church, and that we would give gifts that we know, gifts that are given or received with a greater purpose, when they're attached to the gospel, make a significant contribution to what God's intent of gift-giving has been from the very beginning of time. It's this image of what God has invited us into. And today in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24,
We have Jesus, the master teacher, the one who could bring the crowd together and then yet create the tension in the room, that they would have to ask themselves some difficult questions. And that's what our God is inviting us into as we rethink Christmas. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, if you want to follow along. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now you may be wondering, what does this have to do with rethink? So if you're offering your gift at the altar, I have something wrong with my brother, I'm supposed to leave my gift, be reconciled, and then bring my gift back. What is Jesus talking about? Well, in context, we need to reach back. We need to reach back all the way to the Old Testament so we understand what Jesus is referring to here with the masses of people. So we go all the way back to the book of Leviticus, and we know that there God set up the sacrificial system under the law of Moses. That sacrificial system where his chosen people would literally bring their best sacrifice to be placed on the altar that would be the atonement for their sin, that would roll it back, and that would keep them in this relationship with God. And yet we also know that from that beginning, that those who chose not to bring their gift to the altar, God viewed it as total disobedience, total rebellion, and therefore they severed the relationship. So what does this have to do with what Jesus is teaching on a mountainside? Well, if we look back, we know that that sacrificial system was put into place, and we know God's children still had the challenge, even as chosen as they were, to live lives obedient to God's call, to stand for justice, to make a difference and to make the right choices. And so God had these prophets in the Old Testament. And so I think of the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 15. Samuel made it clear that obedience was better than sacrifice, and to listen to him better than the fat of rams. Do you get it? God said, obedience is better than your sacrifice. To listen to God is better than even the fat of the ram that you're going to come and place on this altar. Amos, another prophet, stood up, challenging and begging with the people to rethink. And he made it clear in Amos chapter 5 that God despised those who seek the day of the Lord, offering sacrifices despite perpetuating injustice. And God rejected their sacrifices until... Now listen, God's rejecting their sacrifices. They're continuing to perpetuate injustice until justice rolled down like waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. You see, when we're in right relationship, as that passage in Matthew talks about, when I'm in right relationship with my brother, with my sister, in relationship with God and with man, all of a sudden, my gift at the altar now moves like a mighty wave, like a mighty stream rushing and bringing righteousness. And God is pleased. Or it's Isaiah. Isaiah, who stood up, and it's recorded in chapter 1. He made it clear that God could no longer tolerate the sacrifices of Judah because of their persistent pursuit of injustice. But remember Isaiah? Isaiah was also the prophet that later said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And it's Isaiah as a prophet that also later says, "And he will be led to the slaughter silent, like a sheep before the shearer." You see, Jesus, fully man there on a mountainside, understands the prophetic tradition that he's now teaching, that he's preparing his disciples to understand and to grasp hold of. And we as the church, all of a sudden we go, wow, in this tension it demands a response, and I live this side of Jesus' sacrifice. So there's a statement in Rethink. Tension demands your response. What is it when you simply have a tension? I can either ignore it and I can pretend I really don't feel it inside, or I allow the tension to produce a pure heart, a pure relationship, and do exactly what God would intend for it to do. So as we recognize God's intent, what Jesus is teaching, and the sacrifice of reconciling relationships is something that is holy and sacred, and something that he has established from the very beginning, and now he's asking us, come together as individuals and come together corporately as the church. We go, what can we rethink and what can we do together? Well, we're in the midst of uncertain times, and maybe we can't literally get across literal borders into other countries, but there's something that can, that will continue to take the message of the gospel to people who have not heard. And so this year, we partner with Rethink. And what happens when the church gives gifts to Operation Christmas Child that impact the lives of people for eternity? This morning, we want you just to take a look at this video and just understand what we have an opportunity to partner with this year.
At the count of three, when children open the shoe boxes, they're so excited.
Those faces just transform.
Yeah, these kids behind me are so excited because they've just received their boxes.
The mouth is wide open, the voice is raised, smiles are all over. That box brings joy.
We're right now in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. I mean, it's just been incredible. Kids are so excited, giving them a gift, do it in Jesus' name, and that's what this is all about.
Jesus loves you.
It's a gospel opportunity. It's the chance for the children to change the entire life.
That's what I love about Operation Christmas Child. It knows no borders, it knows no boundaries. It's all about sharing the name of Jesus Christ.
Churches are doing big things with Operation Christmas Child.
Everybody out there who packs shoeboxes, they are spreading God's love.
It's families, it's churches, it's hundreds of thousands of volunteers that help make Operation Christmas Child so successful. We couldn't do it without them.
With this box, they do get the gospel story. They do hear about Jesus.
It has maximum impact in the worldwide kingdom of Christ. I mean, what better thing could you do than be involved and fill shoeboxes?
Some of them go by train, some go by camels, some go by ships. These boxes go all over the world, and that is only the beginning.
After receiving the shoe boxes, the children will be invited to go to the Greatest Journey, which is a 12-lesson discipleship program where they learn about the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ.
After a child completes the Greatest Journey, they graduate and receive a Bible in their own language.
Nag-istorya ang dupi, hindi nga kanta mo may campaign. Ang kan-kanda dita sa angong. Imbasa mo ba si hindi mo? Ni papa, ni lola, ni lolo, ni papa, mamat. Kat mamati, dakin ni Apong Diyos.
When the light of the gospel is turned on, that changes everything.
Churches are being planted,
lives are being changed, communities are being transformed.
The word of God is spreading, the gospel is advancing.
It is impacting children, it is impacting families, it is impacting the world greatly.
thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. I would like to ask you to consider packing shoeboxes year-round. God will bless, and God will use your gift to touch the life of a child and to be able to do it in Jesus' name. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. God bless each and every one of you.
So we have an opportunity to partner with Operation Christmas Child, to take hope of the gospel to those who perhaps have no hope. In our East and in our West lobbies today, we've got shoeboxes there, and we just encourage you to grab one of those when you leave here. If you're watching online, then we encourage you to go and either stop by the office or literally go online and fill a shoebox. What 1,000 boxes could do for us individually to each do our part and then as a church send out beyond borders gives us an opportunity to rethink in a time and in a season where so many times we get distracted and we get our focus on the wrong thing. We have a chance to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's in Luke's account. It was God's intent. It perhaps is a familiar passage to you. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, it was God's intent from the very beginning to reconcile all things, all people back into himself. And we have an opportunity to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. To fight for justice, to fight for the right causes, to meet the needs, because we've been given the opportunity to do so. It's Paul's motivation of a gift, as he talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Do you catch it? So far as it depends on you. It's not someone else's responsibility to do. Jesus is teaching on the hillside, and he's saying, when you bring your gift to the altar, if there's anything in you that's just tense and not right, then make sure you're in right relationship with the Father and with others, and then your gift given will be a type of gift that does incredible things for the kingdom and the movement of the gospel. Jesus emphasizes time and time again that just going through the required motions isn't going to cut it. He's asking for sacrifice. So when we are at peace within ourselves and when we're at peace with God, all of a sudden our motivation changes, right? And we're in this context of relationship with a pure heart, and we see gift giving as something sacred and holy and meaningful. And to those relationships that you are in and that you're able to give a gift to, it should be a gift given because it's sacred and it's holy and it's meaningful. And so let me take you all the way back. In the season of rethink, as we partner with Operation Christmas Child, we think of one simple little shoebox, but multiply that out and what happens? Let's go back to those first few pictures of gift ideas that I gave you. What happens if instead of the pet butler, we each become a person who chooses to serve others, and we identify someone that we will serve and that we will reach out to and minister to? What happens instead of the fisheye, I ask God to put lenses on me that would be his lenses, and I would look beneath the surface and I would look in dark places for the broken and the people who need to yet hear about Jesus and the gospel? What happens instead of the crib dribbler that I simply just sacrifice and I say, man, if I could meet the needs of physical nourishment for a child who is in need And if I could have a part in that child understanding to have their spiritual need met, wow, that trumps that crib dribbler. And what happens if instead of my first fire, I simply step up to the altar and I say, okay, God, here am I. Now burn away the chaff. Refine me into the image that you want me to be. And help me to have a focus. And help me to be in tune with the tension that you're creating in my heart right now. So as a church, think what we can do together when our hearts are right with God and when our hearts are right with each other. Jesus simply says it. Tension demands a response. Church, what will our response be?